Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Giri Govardhan, Jai Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara, Radha Shyama Sundara Radhe.
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So on behalf of the VIHE, I'd like to welcome everyone to our VIHE retreat. So we welcome everyone. It's quite a variety of places that we've all come from for this retreat. And I'd like to begin our retreat. This is this morning session is an introductory session. By asking His Holiness Satchinandan Swami to please speak. We at the VIHE feel very fortunate that His Holiness Satchinandan Swami, now for the second year, has been so kind to come and give us his association here. Maharaj's involvement in the VIHE goes back to 1988, when he was a roommate with Krishna Kshetra Prabhu and studying very hard for those difficult exams in the early days of the VIHE. And of course, almost everybody here knows him very well. Maharaj is one of our great preachers in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and we feel so fortunate that he's come again to bless us, and I'd like to ask him to please introduce us to this week.
Hare Krishna. Let us just find a good balance for the. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I want to welcome all of you and make a few introductory comments through which I hope to reach you and help you to find your own focus during this retreat. Usually a retreat is something which an individual does who leaves his ordinary scope of activities and then retreats. Previous times people would go alone to holy places. They would, for instance, go into the Himalayas to make such a retreat where they hope to find new directions and new inspirations. And also in our society, sometimes devotees feel it's time for them to make a retreat. And usually this retreat is like the ones which were done in older times. It's something which you do alone, where you are for yourself to go deep into your own life and find some new directions and maybe answers to questions. This retreat is done not alone, but we are about 50 devotees, around 60 devotees. We are a group of devotees. At the same time, it's very important to mention one important thing. In order that the retreat will work for you, you have to learn to become a little bit focused on the vertical relationship. Usually we plan our relationship with many devotees, which can be called the horizontal relationships. We go to our equals or friends or slightly superior or slightly inferior. We want to measure like this and we interact like this. But here, we want to not forget that we will think about our vertical relationship, that is our relationship to Shri Radha and Krishna. Although this is a group experience, and the group will definitely help each of our individual experiences to become deeper, but it's something where you also need to go on your own journey and reach your own goal, and on the way find your own treasures. It's very important that you do not forget that a retreat is possible at that time when you are a little alone with Krishna. When we left, I must say, the visit to Vrindavan, the 3-day visit to Vrindavan, was for me a bittersweet experience. Is what was sweet because of all the people, and wonderful devotees, and also a few holy places and deities which we visited. But it was also very bitter, bitter because I just had a 1 month experience of being alone with Krishna, and to be together with so many human beings is sometimes a quite demanding experience. So much is happening and everyone has his own little world and mindset, and it was so different from what I experienced during my retreat, during the Kartik time, that I felt sometimes a little over-demand was there. Now coming back here again, I feel very natural. Ooh, again, I can be alone with Krishna. This is very, very important, and I think the importance of this being alone with Krishna, or going in your relationship with Krishna, we can call it like this, is something which you will either learn, which you either will have to learn to do by the experiences you make, or which you will do by the maturity which you achieve in Krishna consciousness. I want to tell you something a little personal and private. I was 6 months ago forced to think about retreat when I was in a life-threatening situation. I was forced, in other words. What had happened is I had bathed uncarefully in the Atlantic Ocean and was swept out into the ocean with the current of the ocean. And I wanted to go back to the beach of the Atlantic Ocean. I noticed I couldn't do it. I was swimming with all my swimmer's force, but the more I was swimming, the more I was even pulled out into the ocean. And I remember, first I tried to save myself, but then I noticed this won't work. By that time, I was no longer in control of my emotions and thought. I was panicking. I had swallowed a lot of water. The waves were becoming higher and pushing me under the water, and I was vomiting. It was not an aesthetic experience. I became very angry at the first time. Oh no, I always wanted to die in Vrindavan, surrounded by loving devotees. At the deciding hour, I wanted to be lifted on the dust of Vrindavan to make sure that I go back to Godhead. But here I'm drowning in the Atlantic Ocean like an ordinary German tourist who has forgotten that there is a current in the Atlantic. And I was very angry, angry of my fate, and just very much a mixture of contradicting emotions. Only after some time, I noticed, well, this is actually the time to turn to Krishna, Satchinandan Swami. And at that time, I tried to pray to Krishna, please, Krishna, there's no one else to save me now, or to help me at least to become pacified at this moment. Please, either make me pacified or show me a way out of the Atlantic Ocean. And I prayed, and I noticed that how much easier would it be if I would have a very deeply developed relationship to Krishna. I lamented in this life-threatening situation that Krishna for me was still somewhat distant. Yes, I have faith in Krishna, I chant his holy name, and I try to do service for him. But the deep emotional bonding, this deep thing, I can't say it is satisfactorily developed. And I was really thinking, how important I call now out for Krishna as my only savior in this last moment. It must be more developed, my relationship to Krishna. So, at this moment, I began to pray that please save me, and as you can see, I'm not drowned in the Atlantic Ocean. It's a long story. I do not wish to go into the detail. What happened is the waves turned, and waves were running to the beach. I think Krishna turned the waves, and somehow I got the intelligence to swim with the waves which were going to the beach and keep being with the wave. And when the wave had overtaken me, I didn't fight any longer against being swept into the Atlantic Ocean. So I went 13 meters towards the beach, 12 meters back to the, into the ocean. 13 meters towards the beach, 12 meters back. It was a torture. It took more than half an hour until finally I was near to the coast, and then I had a breakdown there of exhaustion. And then I could pray. You have saved me, my Lord. I know that it was only possible due to you. And there was a real relationship. The reason why I tell this story, somewhat abbreviated, here at the Govardhan Hill is to tell you that it is necessary to have a relationship with Krishna. And you will detect this necessity either when you are in a difficult situation, or that means by force of circumstances, or when you become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, more mature. You will understand that there's only one need in my life. Prabhupada has said the Govinda necessity, the necessity to have a relationship to Lord Govinda. So this retreat is organized by us who are helpers in your retreat, in such a way that there is a good amount of time for deep contemplation, and we will assist you by different suggesting different practices how to go deeper in your own life. Now, the first point which I would like to mention, if you want to make a spiritual experience, your own effort is only will only play a very, very insignificant role. As important as your own endeavor is, as small it will always remain in comparison to the other factor which is necessary for making advancement and going deeper. That other factor is kripa, or mercy. We have chosen this spot right at the lap of Giriraj because Giriraj is one of the three personalities in Vrindavan who is very, very willing to give mercy to devotees who want the mercy. There are three factors which are there since Krishna's time. The dust of Vrindavan, on which we are sitting, by force of circumstances, because still some arrangements need to be made with the pandal, is one. Giriraj kicked us right into the dust. The other is the Yamuna River. Thank you very much. Anywhere else, this gesture would be an offensive gesture. Here it is a mercy gesture. Because the dust of Vrindavan can give us mercy. The next one is Yamunaji. It is said if you only sit next on the bank of Yamuna and talk about Krishna or chant Krishna, Yamunaji will give you spontaneous attraction to Lord Krishna. And the third and most powerful premdata, or deliverer of love for Krishna, is Giriraj. In my first meditation today, I'm giving different meditations during the time, we will hear more about Giriraj. But here I just want to say that Giriraj is extremely merciful even to those who are not consciously looking for his mercy. There is a story in Garga Sanghita which is a glorification which will make you laugh. There was once a Brahmana going for Giriraj Parikrama around the sacred Giriraj. And as he was entering on the other side, this Puchari area, a ferocious man-eating demon jumped out of the bushes to devour the noble Brahmana. This demon, this is the Garga Sanghita description, was once, many lifetimes back, a noble Brahmana himself. But due to incredible lust, he killed his wife by drowning her in a well so that he was free and could live together with the prostitute of his choice. He became so violent while he was living together with the prostitute, he was maintaining himself as a murderer, that he killed about, I mean, he developed into a mass murder, a case which would make the FBI or any criminal department of any country just faint. I mean, he had committed so many atrocious murders. As a result, he became a vulture for 1,000 lives and then a pig or a worm in the stool. A very bad thing. And then he became a Rakshasa, a man-eating demon. And this was his history when he jumped on our noble Brahmana in Puchari. The noble Brahmana was running for his life, but the Rakshasa was so determined to eat him that he was having the wings of hunger, which brought him very quickly close to the Brahmana. And the Brahmana, not knowing what to do, looked for something to defend his life with. He took one of the shilas, the which was lying there, Giriraj, and in a very helpless attempt, threw the shila with full force into the area between the two eyes, which is a good spot if you want to stop someone. This, the Rakshasa fainted, fell to the ground, and then quickly died. From his body emerged the spiritual soul already in the spiritual body, fully developed spiritual body, and said to the Brahmana, "Thank you. You have touched me with Giriraj mercy. Now I can go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very, very much." As much as our Western intelligence wonders about the details of the story, we have to acknowledge the main point of it with gratitude. That is, that even a slight contact with Giriraj can have such a result and reaction. I'm very sure, because we once had in Heidelberg, in our temple, a devotee who was troubled by many things, and finally we indicated to him that it doesn't make any point for you to stay in the temple because you disturb so many people, and you are also disturbed by being not loved and appreciated. So this devotee took our advice, and in his helplessness, he went to Giriraj, and he quickly he spent half a year, and then he died. And devotees visited him as when he died, and he was in an exalted state of Krishna consciousness. All his sins were gone. He was totally clear in sound mind, And he went back home, back to Godhead. He chanted the names of Krishna and had a glorious passage to our eternal home. So I want to request all of you, if you think seriously about establishing your relationship, you will, as a humble devotee, feel a little hopeless when it's up to your own endeavor. But you can feel so hopeful in this endeavor to make a relationship with Lord Krishna at spots where the mercy is specifically available. And here in the sacred valley of Giriraj, where we can tune in to the mercy of Giriraj, you will see something wonderful will happen. I must tell you, I think at this moment we are still, you still look a little bit through your own mental glasses. I can see some of you are tired, some of you are sad, some of you, some of us are overburdened like me by the, experiences in the big city called the Krishna Balaram temple. Some of you have just come from the West and they can't even believe that they are here. It looks like the pictures they have in the wall, on the wall, but it's not yet living for them. Don't worry. After a whole week of staying here, you will be soaked. Your hearts will be soaked with the mercy of Giriraj, so that when you fall asleep, you will not fall asleep in London, but you will fall asleep in the sacred valley of Giriraj. Yes, the sangskaras will be with you. But, and with this note I will almost end, if you want to experience Krishna, don't throw your expectations how Krishna should come to you on Krishna. Then it will never work. If you naturally, we have many hopes and expectations, but if you cling to these expectations and hopes, Krishna, you might never experience Krishna, because Krishna doesn't come like you want him to come. He comes in a different way. Yesterday Krishna came to me through intense frustration. Sometimes when maybe you hope like me that Giriraj will smile at you and you will see the smiling face of Krishna. I always hope like this. I have remained a soft-minded person who likes to visualize such things. But Giriraj might come in another way. Giriraj might show you that some of your expectations in life need to be corrected. This might be his mercy. Giriraj might give you a taste in the holy name. And this is how he will might connect you with Krishna. Giriraj might give you a picture in your mind of Radha and Krishna. Giriraj might come in various ways to you. Please, when you go on a retreat, do not limit Krishna by the prison of your expectation and expect him to come in this prison. Then it will not work. I will tell you a little, because we speak mostly to a Western audience. There was once a man drowning in the Atlantic Ocean. His name was not Sachinandan Swami. He was a dedicated Christian, and he said, in his mind, he was convinced God will come and save me because it's said in the Bible. So he was drowning, and a boat came by and said, "You need some help, huh?" "No, no, no," said the man. "God will come. It's all right. You can go." He continued to drown. Then a helicopter came and a ladder was going down. The man was at the end of the letter, extending a helping hand. You come now. We have informed that you are drowning. We save you. No, 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 no need, no need, no need. God will come. He has said in the Bible. After this, he drowned. When he finally was in heaven, he said to God, "Why have you not come? You said so." And God answered, "I have come two times to you, as the man in the boat and as the helicopter arrangement, but you have neglected this." So this should not happen to us at the sacred valley of Giriraj. We have come here on a retreat. We have come to establish our relationship with Krishna. We have come because we have heard Giriraj is most merciful, and because we have heard a little ISKCON advertisement. A little must have been there, or a mouth-to-mouth propaganda. And now we have certain expectations. Throw the expectations overboard. Let Krishna come in his own way to you and receive him as he comes. I'm saying this so clearly because three of us went on a retreat, and one of us is shaped by Vrindavan Dham in a way he has never expected, and which is quite confusing for him. This is what is to be expected when you make a relationship. You enter, when you want to make a relationship with Krishna, you enter into Krishna's own dynamics, his own will, his own planning. You have to be ready to leave your own world. So please, my dear devotees, come as pilgrims to the sacred valley of Giriraj. Open your heart and your personality to the Lord's arrangement, which will certainly come for you if you are open to receive them. I want to end with two prayers. Adure Shri Govana Girivarang Mohana Maha Mahasindhu Bindu Kita Sakala Sachitra Sarochi Sudha Sindhu Kuti Madhuri Madakari Kanikas Tadanta Shri Vrindavanvan Mahamadanavanam. A splendid transcendental ocean of effulgence is emanating from the hill of Sri Govardhan, situated nearby. Can you see the effulgence of Giriraj? It's an ocean of effulgence. Look closer. Curse your blind eyes if you can't see it. The bliss... Watch further. The blissful effulgence appears like dots upon that hill. Can you see the dots on the hill? Curse your blind eyes if you can't see the dots on the hill. A drop of that nectarian effulgence makes the sweetness of millions of oceans of nectar distasteful. So you can see here a transcendental description of Giriraj. And rest assured, if we stay for 1 week with an open heart, Giriraj, the blindness will go from our eyes, the deafness will go a little bit from our ears, the distasting mucus will leave our tongue, and we will be able to taste a little bit more the sweetness of Krishna. We are patients here in the valley of Giriraj who need his therapy of mercy upon us. And he will certainly give. It's his promise. Then I want to say with you a prayer. Please repeat. O Radha Krishna, please rescue me from the ocean of birth and death. Not so automatically. No. You are all in the automatic gear. You don't even know when it's a prayer and when it's a statement. This prayer, it is said, is extremely important if someone wants to get love of Godhead. It comes from the Sanat Kumar and Samhita. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes it at the end of the Bhajan Rahasya. So please speak from the heart, not from the automatic pilot. Please break to pieces the fears of your surrendered devotees. O Radha Krishna, today I place myself and everything I possess in this life or in the next, at your lotus feet. O Radha Krishna, I'm an abode of all offenses. I have abandoned all spiritual duties. I have no shelter. O Radha Krishna, O my lords, please give me your shelter. O Master of Radha, I am yours. O Beloved of Lord Krishna, I am yours. I offer my thoughts, words and deeds to both of you. You both are the goal of my life. O Radha Krishna, you are like two great oceans of mercy. Please be merciful to me. I take shelter of you and surrender unto you. Although I am a sinner and an offender, please engage me in your divine service. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go, Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. I really wish you from all my heart that you can somehow enter into your own personal retreat by taking the help of this wonderful group of devotees. Hare Krishna. Here's our next speaker. Will you introduce? Those of you who do not know Burijan Prabhu very personally,
I'm not the next speaker.
He is next. Not the next speaker. But it is. next to him is Jagatarini Mataji, who has been my Vatman Pradasha Guru, that is the guru who points the way. I first met Jagatarini next to Mick Jagger, who is a famous entertainer, in a movie called Ned Kelly. I wanted to see my star performing. He was playing the Australian bandit, and something unexpected happened. I became totally attracted to Jagatarini, who was the actress, main actress, in a very deeply spiritual sense, which I had never experienced before. I saw here is someone who has qualities which are very important. She was at that time in spiritual life and then came into Krishna consciousness. And unconsciously, I had devotee association at that time and forgot about my intent of looking at the movie. I was thinking of God all the time when the movie was going on. And this was... And it really changed my life, and I went on. So,
is this a recommendation?
No, just to look at this movie, you mean? No, I don't just, even... Oh, it's just not a... It's a recommendation to look at Jagatarini and to listen to her very patiently and attentively. Jagatarini Mataji is known in our movement as a person deeply attached to Vrindavan. You will see later. Her whole house is not her house any longer. It's called Gopinath Dham, Gopinath's house, where everything is dedicated to service. She served a long time in Vrindavan. It is coming often. And I especially want to recommend also our Matajis, who look for role models and also help from older Matajis to thrust themselves into the loving arms of Jagatarini. So let us hear from her. Hare Krishna. I cannot give such formal introductions, as you noticed, but really it comes from the heart.
You made him laugh, though.
Hare Krishna. Well, I have to say that I was listening very carefully to Maharaj's introduction, and the first few sentences were true. And after that, it was as if he was talking about another entity. So it was quite interesting to hear, because actually, I don't think that at that time there was any possibility of there being any really deep spiritual effect on anyone, because at that particular point, I hadn't yet had the good fortune to come in touch with Srila Prabhupada. But shortly thereafter, by his mercy, I was able to give up the course of my life that I was proceeding with and take up Krishna consciousness seriously. And later on, he told me, at one point, he said, "You are very fortunate because Krishna has saved you from so much nonsense." So, but thank you, Maharaj, for giving me credit for something. So, yeah, a little closer, sure. So okay, is that okay? How's that? Yeah. So I was. Do you want to say something?
What?
Oh, I thought you
no,
were.
No, no, okay. No.
Sorry. I was asked very graciously to come here last year and to speak on the subject of the nature of our relationship with the transcendental dharms. So this year, again, the opportunity arose, and I was trying to think what I should present. So I came to the conclusion, first of all, I spent as much time as I was capable of, which wasn't a great deal, in studying and preparing from scriptures what I wanted to say. And then I thought that I would turn instead to what I'm much more at home with, which is my artwork. And I decided to bring, last year, for those who were here last year as well as this year, I brought a folder book with some pictures of how we had been trying to turn a small part of the material energy of Perth into a place that would remind us of Vrindavan. And we continued with that work since last year, all through this year. And I have made and brought with me this time some very small dioramas. You can see here on the altar over here. This is a small model of the altar that we have, that where we worship in Australia, which has on the bottom level some of the great Vaishnava personalities, six Goswamis, our Guru Parampara, and in particular five personalities who are, not all of them are known to us, but in the center is Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya, we're familiar with his Sad Goswami Astikam, which we sing whenever we're glorifying the six Goswamis. Then next on the right-hand side is Narottam Das Thakur, whose Sri Guru Charana Padma we sing every day. And also some say that he wrote also the Tulsi Arti and many other songs in our Vaishnava songbook. Then on the other side of Srinivasacharya is Ramachandra Kaviraj, who was a disciple of Srinivasacharya and a contemporary of Narottam Das Thakur. And when we sing the song Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Kora More, at the end Narottam Das Thakur says, Ramachandra Sangha Mage Narottam Das. So this is Ramachandra Kaviraj. Then further over on the left-hand side is the personality who I particularly wanted to focus on when we speak later, before going on Prikram. And that is Rasikanand. Rasikanand was a disciple of Shyamananda Pandit, who was also a contemporary of Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur, who were, like you could say, the next generation of Vaishnavas after the six Goswamis, who were directly in touch with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, then the six Goswamis. Then these contemporary personalities were very influential in Vaishnava culture, in Bengal and also in Vrindavan. So I have gained a lot of inspiration from these personalities, and I would like to share some of their sentiments and their character, description of their character and activities with you. But the main thing that I wanted to share was the fact that when I was reading recently in one book by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he described that there are three things that one has to become very attached to, and one has to learn how to serve if one wants to become a very strong and healthy devotee. The first one, he said, is Krishna Naam, the name of Krishna. We have to learn how to serve Krishna's name. The second one is Krishna Dham, or the supreme transcendental abode of the Lord. We have to learn to serve also the transcendental places of Krishna's pastimes. And the third one is Krishna Kam. Kam means, we know the word kam, we talk about it in terms of worldly desire. Material desire is known as kam. But kam means also Krishna, kam means Krishna's transcendental desire. We have to learn how to actually want to serve Krishna's will and not our own. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur takes these three, Krishna Naam, Krishna Dham, and Krishna Kam, and he interrelates them and explains their relationship with one another. So this is, of course, a very deep subject matter. And when I was myself reading What to Speak of Speaking to You, I could not go very deeply into it. But I thought that sometimes even... we were hearing from Maharaj going to the Atlantic Ocean. Maybe you can go deep into the water, deep into the transcendental depths of these subjects. Or perhaps you can just touch the water to your head. Or you can paddle your feet in the shallows of these subject matters. But on every level that you approach them, they'll give tremendous significance to your devotional service. So I'll read to you a couple of the points that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made. He explained that there is no other means to escape from the clutches of worldly inclinations, of worldly passions, except by serving the name, Krishna's name, by chanting Krishna's name. There's no other way that one can become free of his worldliness. Then he said that humanity can free itself from the hold of all superstitions and wrong ideas and thus become rooted in the service of the desire of Krishna only by serving Krishna's name. But then he said that the only way that one can serve Krishna's name properly is if one serves Krishna's dham. So then he explains, what is the Dham? The Dham is a place where Krishna's transcendental pastimes are performed, where Krishna's paraphernalia is there, Krishna's activities are there, Krishna's transcendental reality is present there. So the service of the Dham, he says, hearing about the holy places, visiting the holy places, touching the dust of the holy places, praying to the holy places, if one is very fortunate to reside in these places, even for the short period of 5 or 6 days, by that service, this frees one from the jaws of illusion And what is that? He explains. The illusion is the wrong theory that the jiva, that means ourselves, is God or master, and that Krishna exists only in the imagination, that there is no existence except in the imagination of the holy name or his attributes or lila or the parika of Godhead or the associates of Godhead. So when I was thinking about this in preparation for speaking about this, I began to realize just subtly, just for a moment, how much, at least speaking for myself, I really do think like that. That I think what I know is reality, and I'm the responsible party over my family and my friends and my life and so many other things. And that that is actually substance, and that is actually the important thing. And that Krishna, just as Maharaj was saying, we have to develop our sense of relationship with Krishna. He has to become more vivid and more real than anybody else. But now, he becomes like something almost dreamlike to us. And our friends, our horizontal relationships are very, very strong. And when there's some disturbance or difficulty in this horizontal level, everything becomes topsy-turvy. But we don't think, what about this relationship? Am I developing my relationship with Krishna? But outside of the holy Dham, it's very, very, very difficult to get this sense of the reality of Krishna and his pastimes. And now, because for 12 years I lived here in Vrindavan, so I became familiar with the atmosphere here and the benefits of being in such a place. Although, many times you learn a great deal more about what you have when you have not that opportunity anymore and you're in a different situation altogether. Then you can realize even more deeply what you were achieving and or what was available to you in that first situation. So by coming back and living now for 6-7 years in the West, I can see, talking to the devotees, I can see for myself that it's so difficult to actually enter into a deep sense of the reality of Krishna, his pastimes, and his name for that matter, in that Western materialistic atmosphere, without coming to these places, sitting beside Giriraj, bathing in the Jamuna. When people ask me, when I'm in Australia, do you really believe this? Sometimes you meet people here and there who don't know anything about Krishna consciousness, and you say you're a devotee, you try to explain something to them, but they have no frame of reference. And then they look at you and sort of, you can tell by the look on their face that they're, or they ask, do you really believe this? And I think, of course, look, here's Giriraj, how can you not? This is the hill, this is the place, but these places are here. So if we do not come here to these places and imbibe impressions of these places for ourselves, then when we go back to the West, Krishna consciousness, it becomes something, chanting Hare Krishna, yes, it's good, but it gets mixed with the local culture and it becomes somewhat weak. And it doesn't often become strong enough even for a person to step out of their bad habits into a strong life of devotional service. So this can be possible by the association and the service of the Krishna Dham. Then Krishna Kam. Krishna Kam, Krishna's desire. Now we often think, I have this desire, I have that desire. How do we even know what is Krishna's desire? Many people ask me this here and there along the way. How do I know? How will I know what is Krishna's desire? So then, of course, we can ask them, are you reading? Do you read Bhagavad Gita enough? Are you reading anything? Are you talking to people? Are you asking what you should do in a particular situation with somebody who can give you objective response according to their understanding of philosophy, of Shastra, of their experience of Krishna consciousness? And very, very often, more often than not, I find that the person who's confused isn't doing that. And they're mental about what is my desire, and I'm not sure what's Krishna's desire, but I think I need to do what I want to do. My desire becomes prominent. But serving or learning how to serve Krishna's desire, wanting to please Krishna primarily, before wanting to do what we want to do, this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this saves one from the hands of the foe of hankering for one's own gratification. And it frees one from serving one's own earthly passions. And it installs one in serving the desire of the transcendental despot. That means despot means what? Autocrat. He's completely in control. This is Krishna. So one begins to actually want to serve him instead of being caught up in serving only one's own mental aspirations and one's worldly passions. So he goes on to say that as a result of putting on this body, base desires to enjoy have cropped up. And as the result of putting on the subtle material mental body, indifference to the service of Godhead has grown. And mental speculation ever drives us in the wrong way. But if the inclination and taste for serving Krishna's desire comes, and this is gained, he says, by serving the Dham. And if this desire comes, then from that desire we can actually chant Krishna's name properly. And as a result of that, then we can become actually transcendentally situated in loving service to Krishna eternally. So as I said, this is a very deep subject matter. And so I don't want to talk out of the depth of my own realization, but I still would like to share whatever little I can with you, because it's a fascinating subject matter also, because it allows us to enter into another realm of reality other than the one in which we're presently absorbed. And it allows us to understand, which is practically the case, that everything that we're interested in here, everything that everyone is interested in here, is a reflected, mundane reflection of what takes place in that transcendental abode in Krishna's Dham. So the little Gopinath altar that we've made for this retreat, we have on the bottom, as I said, the Vaishnavas. On the next level up, we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are very crude and simple little images, but just to give some stimulus for thought, on the right-hand side, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gambira with Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy. And on the left-hand side is Shishi Gaur-Nitai. And on the top level, having gone through the mercy of the Vaishnavas, then from their mercy, trying to approach the mercy of Gaur-Nitai, Shishi Gaur-Nitai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, then we come to the topmost level, which is Gopinath's Dham. And in the center, you can see Sri Radha Gopinath and Ranga Manjari. And every day we have made for the 5 days and then a final simple finishing display, we've made a different diorama exhibit like that. So we'll change them each day. And when we place them inside, we have light also so that they're more visible and more attractive. So we will talk about them and try to enter into the mood. They're not just artistic, but it's actually a type of meditation so that we can actually enter into the mood of what it must be like, the beauty and the attractiveness of what takes place in that transcendental atmosphere. So today's little diorama, you can see when you have a moment at the front, we'll take the altar back and place it in the temple area, in the hall. You can see Krishna is sitting on one side, Srimati Radharani is sitting on the other, and Krishna has a couple of friends with him. He has Sridham, and he has also Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal, he's very talkative, and he's also very comical. And he always puts his foot in it. He's very smart, but he says the wrong thing at the wrong time quite often. So Krishna is playing Pasha. This is a game that Radha and Krishna like to play. And you can see there's a little crossboard. Everything, of course, is quite crude in its form. It's very simple, but just to give some idea. And Radharani is sitting on one side, Krishna on the other, and then they have these long, like not like a dice that we have here, but they have like a long something or other, and they shake them, and then they throw them, and according to what number, then somebody wins. And they have to wager something. So Krishna will put his flute Radharani puts her veena. Or Krishna will call his deer. He has a pet deer. Like some people, they have a pet dog or a pet cat. He has a pet deer. So he calls his deer. Then Srimati Radharani calls Surangi, her deer, and her deer comes and Krishna's deer is there. Then they gamble in this way. But this is transcendental. Here we see gambling and we see it's very harmful. But there's a transcendental, beautiful aspect of everything that exists here. So they gamble. And Madan Mangal helps Krishna to cheat. And he says, oh yes, my friend, he won. And Lalita Devi, who's sitting above Srimati Radharani, she makes sure that everything goes properly. So she becomes very angry and she says, he did not win. My friend, she won. And in this way, an argument develops in a very sweet mood. They play in this way. So this is the little pastime which we have tried to depict or share with you for today. If we develop a taste for hearing about Krishna's activities, Krishna's pastimes, as it described here, then one becomes free of the jaws of illusion or the desire to make myself the center of pastimes and activities. My activities are the center of everything. My activities are pastimes. We go higher and higher in our illusion. So we want to come down and down in the illusions in which we're absorbed at the present. And then we can come to the point where we want to actually hear about Krishna, to think about Krishna, and to serve his holy will and his holy name. So the other thing that I would like to point out, since we're sitting here by the side of Giriraj, is that an ordinary person who would come here, just a tourist, we see that there's just so many rocks here, they're sort of piled up, not even a very large amount of rocks, not a very significant size of a hill. But from reading Krishna book and other transcendental literatures, we have heard how Giriraj, he appears, as we know, when the Anukut is offered to him, he appears in the form as like Vishnu, and he accepts all of the offerings, and Krishna himself says, look, there's Giriraj. He's so great, he's accepting all our offerings. But he is also considered to be the topmost of servants of Krishna. So how does he serve? He provides things for Krishna's pleasure. And this is what we ourselves have to learn to do, to take whatever we have and try to provide something from our stock for the pleasure of Krishna. So what does Giriraj provide? He provides things such as grass. He provides fruits if Krishna is hungry. He provides minerals to decorate the face. He can paint their beautiful designs on their faces, Radha and Krishna. He provides caves so that if it's raining, they can go inside the caves. Or the boys can go in the caves and make echoing sounds and call bad names to the echoes. He provides waterfalls for bathing and water for drinking. He provides jewels that they can wear around their necks. He provides beautiful sitting places where they can sit together, Radha and Krishna, or the boys and Krishna. And he provides all these things for Krishna's worship. And the main thing that he does, the most wonderful thing that Giriraj does, is that Giriraj provides the grass which provides the facility for the cows, because the cows are dear to Krishna. So not only does he provide things for Krishna, he provides for those who are serving Krishna. And by serving also the devotees who are serving Krishna in the form of the cows, he becomes especially dear to Krishna. So he is a wonderful example. And if we want to learn how to serve Krishna's desire, and we want to enter into Krishna's dham and hear and actually appreciate, allow the pastimes of Krishna to somehow or other touch us. And if we want to chant Krishna's name, then this is the perfect place and the perfect opportunity for us to be able to try and develop in these things. Even just a little bit would be so fortunate. So here we are, and we're all here for the best part of a week together. So we should take as much opportunity as we can, and don't be frightened. If you think you're frightened because it's very difficult, or I don't think I can do that, you can be sure there'll be other people who are feeling the same way. But don't feel intimidated by the opportunity, thinking yourself incapable. But just do whatever you can.
And really, literally 1 minute, and just listen to whatever sounds we can hear in Vrindavan. One is dominant at this very moment. Let's see what else we can hear. Oh, yeah. This is... Okay. Really, literally 1 minute. Okay. People who are chanting and singing on the Prikram Mark, they're all blind. And when the pilgrims go by doing Prikrama Giriraj, these people chant and they glorify Govardhan and Vrindavan, and they hope that they will get some donations in this way. They've come and are chanting here, and their purpose is somewhat to get donations and somewhat to glorify Giriraj and the Lord. And in this way, we are similar to them, possibly. In some ways, we are also quite blind, as our Satchinandana Swami said, that we curse these eyes that cannot actually see at all. We curse them. Why do we curse them? It's because we accept what they tell us is reality. We accept what they tell us as reality, but actually they do not reveal actual reality, the actual substance of existence. The actual substance of existence that everything is based on is Krishna. And to be conscious of Krishna in a loving way, and therefore to see reality, that is Krishna consciousness. And because our eyes do not reveal that, instead of being satisfied on the surface level of illusion, we curse those eyes. And we curse the ears. Now, the topics that I wanted to speak about in my introductory course, not course, but words, were two. One, relationship, and that's been mentioned already by both Maharaj and by Jagatrini, and also about hope. Relationship, the fault, our being in the material world, Krishna Bhule Se Jeev. Bhule means mistake or forgetfulness. Krishna Bhule Se Jeev. The Jiva, each living entity, has turned his back on Krishna. Krishna Bhule Se Jeev. Forgetting Krishna, we turn our back on Krishna. Anadi. Forever it has happened, practically speaking. We've turned our back on Krishna. Bahimukh means our back. Atta eva. Therefore, maya tare. Maya gives us an illusory presentation of reality and samsareda dukh, the miseries of birth and death and birth and death and birth and death and disease and old age. So, we want to turn from being our back to Krishna. We want to turn towards Krishna. We want to redevelop our relationship with Krishna. So what does that mean? And what does that have to do with this retreat? Now, so many of the points have been already mentioned. But we want to... Krishna comes in many forms. The most merciful form that he comes in by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy in Kali Yuga is the holy names. Because it is so easy, and there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names. So one of the main aspects of this retreat, and His Holiness Satchinandana Swami, this is his topic that he was going to be speaking about, if I'm not mistaken, trying to awaken our relationship with the Holy Name and actually go further, closer, deeper in our relationship with the Holy Name, because Abhina Tom Namanamano, there is no difference between Krishna and His Holy Name. We can experience everything about Krishna in His Holy Name. This is wonderful. And also, the Dham, as Jagatwini Mataji mentioned, the Holy Dham is also not different from Krishna at all. It is a manifestation of Krishna's Sandini Shakti, of Lord Balaram manifest the Dham before, and then Krishna comes, and for His pleasure, He enjoys pastimes here for Krishna's pleasure. And He reveals those pastimes to the living entities by coming to this world to attract us towards them. Because if we don't become attracted to Krishna, we will undoubtedly become attracted to the material world. Because we have to turn our back on Krishna. So we have to turn towards Krishna. So we wish to come closer to Krishna in relationship through the holy names, His holy names, and His holy Dham, this holy land of Vrindavan. And a very prominent aspect of this holy Vrindavan Dham, Sri Vrindavan Dham, is Giriraj Govardhan, who is so merciful. And Mataji has explained, she said the English of the verse, of Hantayan Adri, Abala Haridas Varjo, that Giriraj is known, and who is as Haridasa Vajra, or the best of the devotees of Lord Hari. And Srimati Radharani herself has said this, that Giriraj is the best of devotees. So if somehow we come closer to Giriraj and come closer to the Dham, and closeness doesn't mean physical closeness. That's something that's characteristic of Kali Yuga, that everyone wants to get always physically closer, closer to the deity. If someone is standing in the back, they are feeling very, very terrible and mistreated, and get closer and closer and closer and closer. But what is real closeness? That is a good question to be asking ourselves during these days. How to become really, what is the meaning of becoming really close? And also, we want to become closer, so that your presentation is very much on the Dham, yes? And mine will be mostly on Srila Prabhupada and becoming closer to Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who was the founder of Acharya Viskan, through his books. And in this light, we will be taking a very simple way to approach Prabhupada through his books and try to develop some habits to be able to take associating with Prabhupada through his books wherever we are, because it's such a frustrating thing in one sense when we come here. Undoubtedly, as Maharaj has said, we will find jewels of spiritual realization. And Vrindavan is such an amazing place, and it's a deceiving place and also, because here, due to the dust of Vrindavan, and the association and the potency of the Dham, we can feel very, very powerful and very Krishna conscious, just like the difference between floating in the ocean where the water is salt. You're being supported by the water itself. And then when one's in a chlorine-filled pool, maybe, it's so much more endeavor to swim. So here, due to the potency of Sri Vrindavan Dham, we get so much support in our Krishna consciousness. And then we charge out of Vrindavan with our consciousness filled, thinking we're so Krishna conscious, and then we get to the West. And it can be very disappointing and very disheartening how quickly and how subtly and insidiously, dangerously, insidiously, diabolically. What's the proper word in German? No.
Teuflisch.
Yes, teuflisch. Yes. Maya is very teuflisch. Yes? Very slowly and insidiously, she comes in and whispers things in our ear, and slowly in the West, she steals away our Krishna consciousness, which is basically our desire to love and serve Krishna, not to be entangled in selfish desires in the material world. And quickly she can steal that away, and all of a sudden here we may be rolling in the dust of Vrindavan, thinking ourselves, oh, I only want Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then in the West, very quickly, we become the center of the universe again. That is Maya. And that is Maya's business, to fill us with such illusion. So that can be very, very frustrating, to come here and feel hopeful, but then to go back and to gradually have our strength and our jewels plundered by Maya. It can be very disheartening. The relationships we've worked hard to develop can be stolen away by Maya. But yet, the topic is relationship and hope. And the hope is, and I will, in my presentation, will be discussing how to maintain hope and how to maintain hope when we leave Sri Vrindavan Dham. How to maintain and even increase our Krishna consciousness away from Vrindavan Dham through association with Srila Prabhupada through his books in a very, very simple and heartening way. And so relationship with Krishna through the holy name, through the Dham, especially merciful Giriraj, and also through association, relationship, increasing our relationship with Prabhupada through his books. And also, perhaps the most difficult and challenging way to that we must increase our relationship with and our intimacy with, and that is Krishna's devotees. And here we are surrounded by so many different devotees. And this will be one of the things that we would really like to go on here. And that is to develop our relationships with the devotees and come closer, deeper, in relationship with the devotees. Because we tend in the material world to either want to have exploitative relationships, or we tend to shun relationships in the material world because they can become the cause of so much pain. But we wish to at least take steps forward in more intimate, true relationships with devotees. One time, Prabhupada told me in Hong Kong that if we don't develop loving relationships with the devotees because we are social by nature, we can't avoid wishing to have loving relationships. If we try to avoid it, Prabhupada said, if we don't establish this because we're social by nature, we will end up developing associations, loving association with non-devotees. And then Prabhupada said, we will not be able to follow the rules and regulations. So it is so important to develop a loving relationships with the devotees. So, what is the cause of the ability to maintain a relationship with someone? Of course, there are many causes on different levels, but I would like to mention one of those causes. And that cause is not, obviously, I'm not going to say it's the physical attraction, because no matter how physically attracted one is to another, that's superficial, and it will turn to contempt in time. Because familiarity always breeds contempt. And it's not even attraction and common familiarity or getting along with someone on the mental level or intellectual level, because none of those can sustain a long-term relationship. Because contempt enters in, because no one can truly satisfy us. But I would like to say that what causes longevity in relationship is respect. Because from respect comes appreciation. So what will give us respect for devotees and therefore appreciation of devotees and wishing to be intimate with devotees is if we understand that every devotee, through their practices of devotional service, has gained some very valuable jewels, diamonds and rubies and pearls and emeralds and sapphires of spiritual realizations. And we hope in the association of devotees that they will be very fortunate with us to and kind to us and share some of these jewels with us. And if we can, if they will kindly do this, then we will naturally develop respect and appreciation from them. But we have to be, as Maharaj said, very, very, very open. We can't say, I want this jewel and that jewel and that jewel and that jewel. If someone has a very intimate relationship with another, they can ask for a specific jewel. But we shouldn't be in that mood exactly here. I would recommend, just as Maharaj has said, just be very open and see what jewels Krishna, by His mercy, will distribute to us through the devotees. There's such a tendency always to be thinking, oh, the devotees are there, over there, over there, over there, and I'm not getting what I need. But actually, Krishna, by His kindness, can distribute so many wonderful jewels just through what we have, if we, in association of devotees, just if we keep ourselves open to Krishna's mercy and keep open-hearted. So in pursuance of this, there is an assignment that we are now going to give everyone. Two, actually. One is, raise your hand if you have a notebook. Okay, most of the devotees. Notebooks are just now coming. If you don't have a notebook, we're going to distribute them. Subal Prabhu hasn't arrived back with the pens and notebooks yet. So it seems the writing exercise should wait till later. Thank you. But we'll tell you what it is now. Is two. The first is, at the end of every presentation, and this one that we're doing right now is of the introductory presentation. At the end of every presentation, try to take 5 or 10 minutes and just what we call free write. Just write and write and write without stopping for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and see what, realizations come out based on what you heard. Just write and write and write. And the only rule of free writing is don't stop writing. And no one else will see what you write unless you choose to show it to them. No one's going to mark your papers or anything like that, even though I can't help but being a bit of a school teacher. But no, this is completely private. You write on whatever you want and about whatever you want. But just write whatever you are realizing at the moment, whatever your thoughts are based on what you heard at the end of every presentation. That's the first thing. 5 or 10 minutes. And the second thing is, be on the lookout for gems and jewels from the devotees. Not so much from Maharaj or Jagatwini Mataji or myself or making the presentations. But you can also write any notes you want to on that. But from the other devotees, watch, not spy on everyone and be observing everyone like that, but see if Krishna offers you anything through the devotees, through any devotee, and anything you notice, anytime you notice something, just write it down. And then on the final day, we're going to ask everyone to take one gem that they've discovered by the mercy of a devotee, and even without mentioning that devotee's name, share that gem with us, and thereby your jewels and your wealth will be distributed amongst us all. So I hope that is clear. So two parts of that assignment. First, at the end of every presentation, for 5 or 10 minutes, just write down as quick as you can, and the only rule is just don't stop writing for 5 or 10 minutes. And you'll see amazing things will come out. Even things that you weren't sure that you knew before will come out. Wonderful things, realizations and thoughts. Just keep writing. And the second part of the assignment, and again, it's completely private. No one will look at it. And the second is write down any jewel or thing that you learn from any devotee during this week, and you'll choose at the end of the week, in the final session, everyone will choose one thing to share. So our relationships, we hope, this is our prayer, will move closer to Krishna during this time. The holy name, the Dham, Giriraj, Prabhupada and his books, and with the devotees. So that is what I wanted to say about relationships. Now I would like to say something about hope. And it also has something to do with relationships. Now, I would like to read three very short prayers by Raghunath Das Goswami. Very, very short. And in these three short prayers, he expresses how much he misses Srila Rupa Goswami. Because Raghunath Das Goswami, he left his family as a young married man and attained the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the service of Sarup Damodara Goswami. And then when everyone disappeared in Puri, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan. And there he took shelter of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami and accepted them as his older brothers. And he was their younger brother. And Raghunath, who knows what he is generally called in Vrindavan? Devotees in Vrindavan, they don't call him generally Raghunath Das Goswami, just generally Das Goswami. So, when Sanatana Goswami left this world, his heart was broken because we can just imagine the love that was exchanged because they were all, these Goswamis were such, they were such unselfish personalities, completely unselfish. Because if one is unselfish, one has the capacity to love. They were completely unselfish lovers of Krishna and lovers of the devotees. And they were fearless. What stops us from loving in this world is so much fear. And therefore so much defense is there. That is the deepest principle in the material world, fearing. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Defending, fearing. That is the deepest. But they were fearless because they loved Krishna. And Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. And they had such open-hearted, intimate, loving relationships and exchanges. And when Sanatana Goswami left this world, Raghunath Das Goswami was devastated. And then finally, Rupa Goswami left. And here are three prayers that Raghunath Das Goswami says about Srila Rupa Goswami. Now that I no longer have the sustainer of my life. He was here in Vrindavan, living at Radhakund. Now that I no longer have the sustainer of my life. That's Srila Rupa Goswami. The land of Braja has become empty and desolate. Govardhan Hill has become like a great python, and Radhakund has become like the gaping mouth of a ferocious tiger. Nothing had value for him. It is not the fault of my body that it does not immediately fall down and die. By deep logical analysis, I've concluded that the creator, Brahma, must have constructed my body from the strongest of thunderbolts. How else could it be able to bear the weight of all this pain? These are the feelings of a devotee. This is love. This is separation. Raghunath Das Goswami continues. Chanting the glories of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and with love remembering their charming lotus feet, and eating the fruit and yogurt of Braja, he ate nothing else. May I eternally live in the forest at the base of the best of hills, Giriraj, by the beautiful lake that belongs to the queen of Vrindavan. What lake is that? Radhakund. So this is his desire. May I live here just simply feeling this deep separation. Oh Lord, please allow me to pass my days living on yogurt and buttermilk under the King of Hills. Permit me again and again to call out, O Radha, O Krishna. This is our line of disciplic succession. Now, when we hear what a devotee is and what a devotee is experiencing, there's a famous story of how Raghunath Das Goswami, who was the son of the wealthiest persons in Bengal, he was sitting so thin and emaciated with nothing on his body, no, just bones practically, just sitting on the bank of Radhakund, chanting and chanting Krishna's names, O Radha, O Krishna, and tears coming from his eyes. And some person approached him thinking that, oh, he's so skinny, he must be hungry, he should go home. No wonder he's crying like that, out of hunger. So they approached him and said, why are you here in this impoverished condition? You're not the son of a poor man. Go back to Bengal. You'll be taken care of and you won't have to cry anymore. So would Raghunath Das Goswami trade his position for anything in the material world? He said, no, I'm happy here. Because in that crying, that negative, that wanting, that desiring, that emptiness is what attracts. Just like the negative pole of a magnet attracts the positive pole. So the negative feeling of emptiness attracts that prema, that love, and the feeling of emptiness and unworthiness and not having anything else and not willing to be put anything else in there, anything of the material world. That is the deepest of spiritual experiences, because it attracts Radha and Krishna to always be within the heart. So Raghunath Das Goswami, no, I'm happy here, crying and crying and crying. Because in that, with that desire, Radha and Krishna always present. So when we look at the great, great devotees, or look at Srila Prabhupada and what he did in the service, who else served the holy name like Srila Prabhupada? There has never been a greater servant of the holy name, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, tirelessly preaching. So many difficulties may come, but never mind. So when we look at the capacity of love that these great devotees have, and then when we examine honestly, if we examine honestly, at least I can't speak for anyone else, but I certainly know my own consciousness, it's disgusting. That's the proper word for it. What is it in German? Is that word?
It would be too
heavy. Okay. Okay. We'll keep it with the light English word of disgusting. What can we do? Yes, we can serve the servants of the servants. But sometimes, we feel very, very hopeless. We feel very hopeless. That what hope do I have to actually ever become a devotee? I have so many limitations, so many conditions. So there is one verse that Kaviraj Goswami, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, which will lead to the last part of the presentation. He says, Adi knows it, Adi Krishna Prabhu knows it by heart, but I have to read it, but I wish to memorize it. Katanchana smriti yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet vishram te viparitam syat sri chaitanyam namami tam. Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or another simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or another simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. Yes, we'll have to ask Adi. Yes, where is it? But I can give it to you and someone can look it up. We'll look it up on folio and give you the reference. Okay, he has computer but no battery. This is problem. Yes. So, to facilitate, because we want to develop this desire in our heart to become devotees and servants of devotees and develop an intense desire for serving Sri Guru Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the mission, Srila Prabhupada, the six Goswamis, the Dham, the Kam, and the Nam, the holy names. But yet, maybe our capacity isn't very great. So to facilitate our remembrance of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the evenings, we'll have kirtans. And last year, the kirtans were so sweet, and I assume they will be very sweet this year. And part of the kirtan will be hearing some of the lila of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. During the kirtans, or interdispersed in the kirtans. And the kirtans that will be, or the leelas that we'll be hearing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will be all from the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Bhagavat. Excuse me, my leg has decided to give me some trouble. Thank you. Excuse me. Sorry, tree. Thank you. Where do you point your feet that's not towards a holy place, though? It's a problem.
Well, it's me.
His Holiness, Sachinandana Swami Ki Jai. May Giriraj give you special mercy. So, Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Madhya Lila, takes place before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just when he started his Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. And we'll be hearing tonight, if Krishna allows, we'll be hearing about his meeting, his first meeting with Nityananda Prabhu. And then, tomorrow night, if Krishna allows, we will be hearing about his dancing. And to hear about the dancing of Mahaprabhu is very wonderful. And we will keep always in our minds the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, on the following night, we have a big kirtan, and there won't be any reading that night. And the next night, we'll be hearing about his manifesting, his Mahaprakash, when he showed how he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he gave special mercy to Kolavecha Sridhar. Does anyone know what Kolavecha means? Yes, the Kola, or Kela, Vecha. He would give bananas. He sold bananas. Very, very, very humble position. And yet he's so much attracted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was displaying this Mahaprakash, his opulence, he especially told the devotees, go out and bring Sridhar to me because he is always calling for me. And now I want him to see me. And then the next 2 days, we'll hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his desire to take sannyas and his actual taking sannyas. So in this way, we will cover very briefly the Madhya Lila. And by obtaining the mercy of remembering the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and even getting a drop of his mercy, our hearts will become suitable for getting the mercy of being hopeful of taking steps closer to the holy name, deeper relationship with the holy name, a deeper relationship with the holy Dham, and a deeper relationship with Srila Prabhupada through his books and with each other.